0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Stephen Davis says previous success at Rangers counts for very little this time around. Craig Gordon's confident Celtic's title winning experience will tell come the end of the season. And Neil Lennon chases Lewis Morgan as Gary Mackay-Stephen considers a move to New York. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Gordon DL and Mark Wilson.
Yes, Gordon, we're 10 days into this transfer window and already it's shaping up to be one of the most interesting and intriguing of recent times. 21 days still to go though, and there's going to be more signings. You just wonder who is going to make the best moves, because there's still some plenty of drama in this window, and I'm looking forward to it, you know. And I'm looking forward to seeing the players come back and how they are, because that's the big question. Will the players that Rangers have brought in be the same standard that they were in the English Premier League? And are the players that Celtic have brought in actually any good? Because nobody really knows that. So intriguing times ahead.
And I'm watching the footage coming in from Dubai or Tenerife or wherever the various teams are, Gordon DL, and it now seems like this notion that the winter break is somehow a rest, that's not really the case. It seems to be quite hard work, and it's essentially another pre-season in the middle of the season.
Yeah, you've got to up your fitness. This is an opportunity for managers and you know, the staff to get their players right up to fitness, because the run-in and when they come back is going to be so important. Because, you know, if you look at the years going by, you're probably saying, right, it's a race for second. There's a title race on now. Celtic will be wanting to, you know, hit the ground running. Rangers, Kilmarnock, Aberdeen, they're all away. Even Motherwell are over in Tenerife, because they know they're at the bottom end. Livingston's away. In our day, and well, in my day, when I played, it was Burnt Island for a couple of nights out and then back to training. But it's completely different now. And it's a way, I believe in it, Gordon. I think it's a good break for the guys. They'll get a lot of rest time over there. They'll get a lot of time to get to know each other. Mark was saying there about the transfer window. Teams have made signings. It gives them an opportunity to all blend together, get to know each other. And as I say, every club has got to hit the ground running. And we were talking about it before we come in here. The Wednesday after the Scottish Cup, we'll be looking at going to games, because I want to see what's happening. I really do.
Right, in the second hour of tonight's show, we're going to be focusing on the juniors. Something we hear quite a lot. Why don't you talk about the juniors a bit more often? Well, tell you what, tonight is that night. It's a winter break. We try and do something a bit different in the second hour of the shows, and tonight it's all about the juniors. We've got a few guests lined up, but we want to hear from you. Any memories, experiences, stories that you've got that we won't know about, share them with us on the phones. Another thing I'm looking for, Gordon, we obviously are wanting to talk about the transfers and the news of the day. You'll have been very proud of your old team last night, I'm sure. What a demolition.
Oh, we were terrific. I've got to say, that was the sort of football that I was brought up with when I went down to City. Guardiola's just carried it on. Gordon, you've got to say, I've stood in a touchline when a terrific Rangers team beat us 7-0 in the semi-final. And I looked at Nigel Clough, and it's not a pretty place to be. It's a lonely place, and you're looking at the clock and you're thinking, this is a calendar I'm looking at, not a clock. And then, and
at least you didn't have a second leg still to come.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
I've got to be honest, right? I've got to be honest. When it got to 9, I was hoping for a magic 10.
Everyone is, aren't they?
Yeah.
So that's something to just keep ticking along in the background. Tell us the heaviest defeat you've ever seen inflicted on your team. You can do it on the phones or on Twitter, 0141 951 1025. The heaviest defeat you've ever seen inflicted on your team. This is after Man City's trouncing of Burton Albion last night. Anything that springs to mind, Mark Wilson? You had a few sevens, didn't you?
Just 1-7.
Oh, sorry. My apologies.
1-7. But that was pretty bad, because that was in the semi-final of the League Cup at the National Stadium.
Who's that against, Mark?
That was against Rangers for Dundee United. They hammered us. Absolutely hammered us. And the thing was, we got back to 2-1, and Jim McIntyre had a penalty claim, and you're thinking, oh, We've got Rangers here.
Could have been 7-2.
Goals change games.
Goals change games, Gordon. Exactly. We were robbed that night.
Let's do it. 01419511025. Any thoughts on transfers, heaviest ever defeats, and in the second hour, the juniors? What does it mean to you? Give us your memories. What are you shaking your head at already?
I've got a good one for the juniors in the second half.
Right, okay. Save it. Yeah, is that all right?
Oh, I can't wait.
Let's hear from Stephen Davis. He says his previous success at Rangers means nothing as he attempts to bring silverware to the club in his second spell. He says he would like to extend his stay beyond the summer, but he's hoping the experience in the squad can help him in the second half of the campaign.
I know the demands of the Rangers fans and what they expect, so that doesn't necessarily count for anything moving forward. I know what I need to do whenever I go out on the pitch. Ultimately, the least they expect is 100% effort. That's in my nature anyway, so I'm not concerned with that there, but I need to go and show my qualities once again and have an impact on the team and help the team because they put themselves in a good position. It's always nice to have players in the squad who've been there before and done it, and obviously you've got a few of us in there that played together in the previous spell, so there's good experience within the team with the players that we've brought in now as well, and hopefully we can push on forward. Listen, we know there's a lot of hard work to do in the second half of the season. Celtic have rightly deserved to win the title over the last number of years, and it's up to us to go out and show that we deserve it this year.
Can you see yourself ending your career here?
Yeah, who knows? Like, football's always throws up a few surprises, but hopefully beyond the 6 months everything will go well, and then we can look at things and make it a longer term thing.
Let's hear from you. 01419511025. When we talk about signings, and we sort of analyse a couple of categories when we're trying to decide if they're a good signing or not, I think ability is you know, sort of the most important one. But when you talk about experience and knowing the demands and so on, it doesn't guarantee you anything. Stephen Davis admits that himself. But it must help, because by and large, this Rangers squad that's been assembled this season doesn't have experience of getting over the line up here. Perhaps some of them don't know. I'm sure they're learning about what's expected.
Listen, we've seen it. Kyle Lafferty came in and everyone was giving it, you know, Kyle Lafferty, been at the club, scored many big goals, knows how to win titles, and he's not really hit the heights that Rangers fans would have expected him to. I think Stephen Davis is different though. I think Stephen Davis is a pick of the bunch. I know Jermaine Defoe is getting a lot of the headlines, and because he scores a lot of goals, and that comes with strikers, they get the back pages. I think Stephen Davis is a key signing for Rangers, because he's so influential. At his time at Rangers a few years ago, he was so influential to everything they done. And I know the years have went by, but it's not as if he's not been playing. He's played at a top level under top managers for so many years. He's a fit lad, and I think Rangers were missing a player like him in the middle of the park. I mean, he's an upgrade certainly on guys like Ajaria. I mean, Koulibaly, people like that. Davis, a far cry from them, way better than them, and he'll be a creative force. And I think that's what Rangers were really missing. Someone to feed Candeias and Kent and Morelos from the middle of the park. That's what Rangers were missing, and now it seems like they've got someone who can do that.
Yeah, I think Mark's right. I think Rangers were always looking. They were talking about a number 10. I don't think he's a number 10, but the one
he's wearing number 10.
So I mean, if it, technically,
he's a number 10.
He is the absolute definition of a number 10.
Anyway, he's a good number 10 to have in your team. You've done me there. But I mean, by a number 10 playing off the striker, I think he's one of these guys that he's terrific at picking a pass. He can see a pass early. And if the movement from the front players is good enough, which it probably will be, I think he'll be tremendous at that. I think he's got guys round about him that can go and win the ball, give it to him, and let him be the creative player that can make that pass and be the number 10 Rangers have always wanted.
It's 01419511025 on the phones. Let's speak to Jim, who's a Rangers fan in Kilmarnock. Hi, Jim.
Hi guys, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
Following up regarding the Jordan Jones signing, I'm obviously from Kilmarnock. I've been reading a lot on social media. The comments from most Killy fans is absolutely disgusting towards this guy. They're injury on him. I hope he's injured. I hope he didn't get a game with Rangers. I hope his career is downhill. I think it's disgusting, but I don't know if it's a good idea to have this transfer thing that he can sign for a club in January, especially a rival club, and then he still plays for his current club. What do you think of this transfer thing? Do you think there's a future at Killy for Jordan Jones, or is he going to come in this side of the transfer window?
Interestingly enough, I noticed online, and we've not had the chance to, like, you know, get Steven Gerrard's answer on this, but Gresda pictured on crutches today with the old boot on. Whether that accelerates the process or not, who knows? We'll wait to find out. What do you make of Jim's point?
It's I always thought pre-contracts is a difficult thing to manage for players and the club and the fans. You know, you've got a whole mix here. For a player going out and playing, I think it's difficult when they're coming up against the club they're going to. I always remember Gary Caldwell did it at Celtic and I was there, and Gary spoke about how he found it incredibly difficult. The fans found it difficult supporting him. And the manager's in a position. Does he play him? Does he not play him? Will you tell me that news there about Gresda? I would have thought Rangers might try and offer some money to get him away. Now, if Kilmarnock were in 6th place or 7th place, I think there'd be no problem. He'd be on his way to Ibrox or perhaps out in Tenerife just now. The fact is that they're 1 point off the pace. I think Steve Clarke will fight tooth and nail to keep him, but no doubt about it, these pre-contracts put people in difficult positions.
Well, I mean, Jim's asking about pre-contracts in general, whether we think they're a good idea. It's important, I suppose, to remind ourselves, Gordon, it's nothing new. There have been umpteen examples of them over the years. We had John Viola in on Tuesday night telling us even, you know, Darius Adamczyk, he was one that he could remember. So, I don't know, is it just because nowadays there's that extra level of scrutiny out there? We've already seen people looking at social media and what Jordan Jones is tweeting, and, you know, it just intensifies everything.
I think that if Kilmarnock were sitting in 7th place just now, I don't think Kilmarnock fans would have any problem whatsoever. It's because they believe under Stevie Clarke, who's doing an absolute terrific job, you've got to say, they believe they could, you know, with a bit of luck, they could go and win the title. I don't think that will happen, right? So I think that for the best, if they could get some money for him just now, I think it'd be best for both parties and the player, because it is going to be difficult now, because I think his first game is against Rangers when the league game in a couple of weeks on Wednesday. And I think it's got to be difficult for the boy. And I'm like Mark, I don't like them, but they're not new, Gordon. They've been here for a long while, and you've just got to trust in the players to go out there and give their best for the club who's paying your wages until you walk out the door.
What do you think, Jim?
I don't think there's a future for him. See, as I say, Kilmarnock, and reading the comments of the Killy fans, it's absolutely disgusting. And I think part of the problem is, see, if this guy was going to Aberdeen or Dundee or Hibs or something like that, it would have been fine. But see, because it's Rangers, it seems to be there's a lot of hatred, I don't know why, to Kilmarnock fans towards Rangers. But the comments I've been reading on there, the Kilmarnock fans are totally disgusting. But you're saying about Stevie Clarke going to miss him. According to the Killy fans, he's not going to be missed, and he's not really that good a player. But that seems to have happened overnight if he signed that contract.
Okay, thank you to Jim, a Rangers fan. He's got his ear to the ground in Kilmarnock. He's got a good grasp of the situation. We're asking, remember, in light of Man City's win last night, your heaviest defeat that you've seen your team on the receiving end. John Marshall says, my dad took me to watch Falkirk at Parkhead in the CIS Cup. We were beaten 8-1. Heaviest defeat I can remember.
Yeah.
I wonder if John ever went back, or if that put him off for life. Just check Twitter, see if there's anything else on that one. Yep, keep it coming.
When I was at Celtic and beat Aberdeen 9-0, 9-1, was that? Celtic Park.
Were you playing that?
No, I was in the stand actually.
Were you at Celtic?
I was at Celtic at that time.
Yeah, nil-nil, I thought Aberdeen should have had a penalty, and they changed it.
Right, keep your memories coming. Your heaviest ever defeats. Robert Coates is on Twitter, really disturbing this one. He says, I can confirm Rangers will go on to win the league, and if I'm wrong, I will hold up an I love Mark Wilson sign with a green mankini on, and bear in mind I am a healthy 18 stone.
Lovely.
So, Robert,
I can't wait.
Do you know what I'm going to do right now?
Get
I'm
name.
Just going to
save that.
Lean over and like the tweet, just so we don't. We've got that there forever.
A lot of people will think it's Mark.
Let's speak to William, a Rangers fan in Port Glasgow. Hi, William.
Hi there, guys. How you doing?
You got any heaviest defeats memories for us, William?
Well, can I just take your pick? There's been quite a number, especially the last couple of years. Probably, the 5-0 defeat at the end of last season against Celtic. Obviously, I'm a Rangers fan, and that wasn't nice, especially them. Obviously, that was the game that they had to win to win the title. So, no, definitely not a good memory there.
What was your other point tonight, William? I'm sure lots of Rangers fans would agree with your feelings on that result.
Yeah, it was just a bit of a transfer business. I'm really pleased so far. You know, Davis and Defoe, great signings. You know, I'm quite happy with those things because we know what they're going to bring. You know, a lot of people know what they've done in their careers. I'm not keen on signing, you know, youth prospects or unknowns, really. I'd rather, you know, especially when it's a critical stage of the season, I'd rather we bring in players that we know what they're all about. We know their quality, even their age. Really pleased about Jones and Kamara as well. So I think it's shaping up really nicely for the second half of the season. And I think there's an American player, Matt Polster, that we've still got in trial in Tenerife that we might sign. So it's looking good at the minute.
I think William makes a good point there. At this stage of the season, where Rangers are, where they've came from, the signings are making experienced players, even with Jordan Jones, a guy who's done it in this league. You know, everybody knows him. We've seen what he can do. So there's no really unknowns in there. In years gone by, Rangers have went down this loan route that they've went down to teams like Tottenham and Arsenal and things like this, and taking players never really worked. We see, even see with Ajaria, didn't work, but they've got away with it because the other guys run about have dug Rangers out. So I think William's right in terms of, I think most of the fans would have rather seen experience to try and boost the squad and get them over the line rather than unknowns coming up for some game time who doesn't really know, they don't really know what it means to win a title. Whereas you've got guys like Davis who knows what it means, you've got guys like Defoe who's played at the top level. That's the kind of guys I think Rangers need to
pull them on. We often hear this. Do you genuinely feel it when a signing is made in January, maybe even in the summer as well, and perhaps when it is a big name, does it really give people a lift? Because we hear that, but you've been in dressing rooms.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I mean, I was there at Celtic, you know, Robbie Keane came in, and I remember sitting at home, didn't know much about it, but I was sitting at home, switch on the TV, and, you know, you've seen the footage of him outside Celtic Park. It was night time, loads of fans there, and I was sitting in the house going, oh my God, what a signing that is. That's absolutely incredible. You know, I'm going to be training with this guy. Mm. And it just gives everybody a lift. Next day in training, standard automatically seems to lift because this guy played at some of the best teams in Europe and in England, and you're trying to impress him. So there's no doubt about it. It gives everybody at the club a boost, these guys.
Final word to you, William.
Yeah, just again, I mean, I still think, you know, in terms of the transfer window, I still think we do need another number 10. I know Davis can play in that role from time to time, but I think in terms of, you know, that player that can definitely unlock a defence if things aren't going well, like a shot from distance, you know, just a bit of moment of quality, I still think we maybe need that other number 10. And if we get that, I think we'll be good to go and really can push Celtic all the way.
Great stuff. Thank you to William in Port Glasgow. It's 01419511025. We're also asking for your memories of your heaviest defeats after Man City's exploits last night. Mick is on. He says, I was in Paris last year for the Celtic game. I'll say no more. That was it. That was it. He meant it. He's saying no more. We're going to hear from Craig Gordon after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Great results for Scottish accident and injury victims for 40 years.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Let's hear from you on the phones or on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Any reactions to the transfer news that's been rumbling on this week? Your memories, please, of your heaviest ever defeat after Man City's 9-0 win last night. And don't forget, in the second hour, we're going to be focusing on the junior. James McCluskey's on Twitter at Clyde SSB. We're going back a bit here before, well, you might remember it. He says, Celtic 10... Hamilton 0, League Cup in 1968.
I might remember it.
Oh, you'll remember that.
You were born before then.
Yeah, that day. Well, okay, 6 years.
There you go. No, I remember that one, no.
No, I don't actually.
No. He says Lennox and Chalmers both scored 5, so there we go.
Oh.
I have no reason to not believe it. Anthony Harris says, regarding Celtic beating Aberdeen 9-0, Mark forgets to mention Celtic went down to 10 men.
Exactly. Aye. So,
who was it sent off again?
They were down to 10 men most weeks when
I
you
don't
were
know.
Playing.
Thomas Ronya? No, I don't know.
You can't even remember. Honestly, you are.
He was in the stand. He was in the stand. He was raging.
I think that was the game, if I remember, was the game Dilip McGeoch scored an absolute peachy goal. Got it at his 18 yard box, ran the full length of the pitch. I'm sure it was that game. Somebody might tweet it. Tell me I'm wrong, but
I think you're probably wrong. G-Dog is on. He says, my father took me to watch Queen of the South Newcastle at Palmerston in a friendly 30 years ago. Newcastle won 6-0, if I remember right. A young Paul Gascoigne scoring a few. There we go. See, these things live with you. Mm-hmm. See, when you get a heavy defeat like that, those Burton Albion fans last night.
Oh, I don't remember.
Don't forget
that,
those things. Yeah. 0141 951 1025. Let's hear from Craig Gordon. He thinks Celtic could have the upper hand on the teams around them because they've been dealing with the pressure of being top for years. It's just 8 points separate the top six at the moment. The Hoops keeper believes they have the staying power to remain there.
Of course we want to go on and win the league, and you're right, it is very condensed, and for everybody else that's quite exciting. The pressure I think it brings to everybody, because everybody's in there with a chance, everybody's fighting for points that are potentially going to decide the placings and prize money and things like that. So there is a lot to play for, right down to sort of 7th, 8th place are still quite tight and a chance of doing really well this season. So There's a lot to play for a number of teams, and that'll bring its own individual pressures to them as well. So you could talk about that for every single club. They're all going to be under pressure. You know, being at Celtic, we're always under pressure, so we're used to that. Maybe not so much the other clubs that haven't been up there and done that for a considerable period of time. So I can only see that benefiting us, to be honest, to go into the second half of the season with the knowledge that we can go in and compete at that level and know what it takes to get the job done.
Shock. Dylan McGeoch's goal was against St Mirren.
I remember it well.
Hopeless. Absolutely.
The strips are quite similar. And I know Aberdeen and St Mirren.
Seriously, why did you open your mouth?
Well, it'd be a pretty long show if he doesn't. So anyway, Craig Gordon talking about this experience that Celtic have of getting over the line and winning titles. Does that count? How much does that count for? You guys will know better than
I think it does. I think having experienced guys who can dig out results does count. The thing is, with the Celtic squad, they've had it pretty easy. You know, in the actual running, you know, when it gets to end of February into March, they've almost got the title, or had the title wrapped up for, well, longer than I can remember. So it'll be interesting if Rangers, if Kelly, if Aberdeen, who are only, Aberdeen only 3 points behind, if they can keep in touch with Celtic, it'd be interesting to see how the players react. But I truly believe that Celtic have the quality and the experience to be able to handle this.
What's he done now?
His memory is all over the place. So I just read out the tweet. I read it out in good faith, but lots of people are saying it was Paul Hartley was red carded for Aberdeen. So Celtic didn't get a red card. Aberdeen did.
I thought Paul Hartley was playing for Celtic at that time.
Everyone says tell Mark it was St Mirren. Paddy says the McGeoch goal was against St Mirren. Not surprised Wilson didn't remember. He was asleep half the time he was on the pitch. Thank God for Andy Hinkle.
Tell him I wasn't even on the pitch. I was asleep in the stand watching at that game.
Anyway, there we go. Yeah, listen, thank you for all the replies. We now know McGeoch's goal was against St Mirren, so we can
end it.
It was a simple mistake.
0141 9.
It was a good goal anyway.
Get away with mistakes on here.
Well,
0141 951 1025. John's a Celtic fan on the line. Hi, John.
Hi, Gordon, Mark, and the legend. How are you?
Hi, John.
Mark, you come on the show at the beginning there, and obviously asked, you know, this short window. It's really important for Celtic and Rangers. Obviously, as a Celtic fan, I'm really, you know, I'm hoping for big things off of Celtic, obviously, because of the whimper that we had at Rangers. I think the Rangers fans are going, yeah, they're feeling confident, and I don't blame them, and it sounds good for Scottish football, but it would be atomic if they won the title. I don't think that will happen. I think Brendan Rodgers and the staff will be doing their homework that they should have done, obviously, at the beginning of the season. We've suffered some punishments. Obviously, 3 weeks ago was one of them. But business-wise, guys, and I don't know what you think about it as well, Legend, where, you know, you've mentioned the disco lights that we have. It cost, you know, the rumours at £4 million. I actually thought in the beginning, I thought, all right, if we're going to have rock concerts, you know, superb, we'll make money that way. But what rocks really is when Celtic win titles. And if Celtic are not going to use their lights that they spent £4 million on having them concerts, then I think that was a waste of money. They should have concentrated on what's on the park, because, as I said, that rocks.
Well, yeah, that's a lot of rocking. Gordon DL, I think the reason the question's been sent to you is because you've clearly seen quite a few disco lights in your time. I think that's the
Yeah, and I certainly rocked a few things. But John's right. He's obviously concerned, I think, that there are a title race on. And it'll be interesting. Mark said 21 days still to go. I would imagine that Celtic will splash some of the cash that they've got and strengthen even further. Whether Rangers do or not, I don't know, but I certainly think Celtic will. And it's all about the new signings coming in and hitting the ground running, getting in there quickly. We don't know what Celtic are bringing to the table, because there's a couple of lads coming in there, Bio and Weah, that we don't know a lot about. Oliver Burt's been about the scene.
I think Weah certainly is more well-known. Everyone knows the family. They know that PSG have given him an extended deal. He's played in the UEFA Youth League and so on. So
my point is, Gordon, I don't see him week in, week out. I've not seen him for a long time, the lad. And you look at Oliver Burke as well, not really hitting off at West Brom, big transfer deals that he's been involved in. So it's big time for him. We'll touch on Davis, DeVoe coming in with the experience that they've got, but they've still got to come in and do it on the pitch. I just think we're in for such an exciting end of the season, and if they win it, then John will be happy rocking to the disco lights at Celtic Park.
And Mark, it looks like Celtic are going to dabble in the American market. Reports coming out of America that they've done a deal for Andrew Gutman. This is Gutman, that's the guy who was on, had been training with Rangers. It looks like he's going to secure a deal with Celtic. I think he's a left back. Also, Manny Perez was the one who was on loan previously, on trial, I should say, previously. Yeah. It looks like something could still happen there as well. So, I mean, clearly, still lots to be done.
Yeah, in terms of the left back, that was an interesting one, because I was reading reports that there may be more concern over Kieran Tierney's injury than first thought.
Yeah, I think they're still awaiting to see if he needs surgery. That's the latest.
And that's quite a lengthy time. You know, when you take it back to the 29th, where he sat out on the bench, obviously because his hip was bore on him, till now, and they still don't know whether he needs surgery, you just wonder how long is he going to be out for. So I think it was an important bit of business to try and get a left back in. Now, this guy that's coming in is practically unknown as well, so it's kind of hard to put on a value or whatever to him to how he's going to do in this league. But it was definitely a position that needs filled. I still think, I'm still adamant that Emilio Azzigiri can do a good job for Celtic. I still think he's got enough in the tank, but if he gets injured, then there's nobody else to play there. So that was important.
And listen, what is also important, that we give you credit where credit's due, because Thomas Ronja was also sent off.
Yes!
There you
yes!
go.
Yes!
Redemption. He's absolutely delighted. Look at him.
Yeah! I believed in myself all along.
I was there.
Yes. Happy.
Chris Blade says the Celtic disco lights are for the rugby final, and holding that event is paying for them. You're not happy with these disco lights, John?
Guys,
4 million, I think,
to be honest. Yeah, of course. I mean, I don't know if it's a sort of thing that we've got something you've no got, sort of thing. Like, you know, I mean, I like Celtic to have a business head on them. Obviously, I like to hear Celtic making money, but obviously spending what they make. But I don't know. Still, guys, can I totally change the subject?
If you make
totally
it quick,
fast,
yes.
And just say, see, Mark, see the young players that we've signed.
Yeah.
I think that's positive, because I think that's where Scottish football went wrong through the years, man, is the fact that we didn't back our young players, and we got foreign players in, spent a lot of money, and that's what broke us. I know a lot of things broke us, and I think it's brilliant that we're bringing through young players and making players of them, because we were famous for doing it.
Yeah, they are foreign, but I think he's talking more about age and buying potential, essentially.
Oh, well, it's the Celtic formula. It's worked in years gone by, but there's been a few failures as well along the way. So that's how it's hard to judge these players just now. I mean, I'm reading people saying it's fantastic signings, unbelievable. Potentially, yes, because they're young, but we don't really know much about them. So that's why I was saying at the start of the show, I can't wait, and Gordon touched on it, I can't wait till the teams get back and we actually see these guys in action in our league, what we know, and then we can judge them. But in terms of age, And in terms of what Celtic have done in the past with moving things on, yep, they look fantastic on paper that way.
Thank you to John on the line. It's 01419511025 to join him. Remember, we are asking about your heaviest ever defeats as well, just to keep us ticking along nicely after Man City's last night. Alison Conroy, your colleague, has been in touch because she's a Forfar fan, we know that.
Oh, she's been whipped a few times.
Rangers humped us 6-0 in the Scottish Cup in 2002 and then 6-0 in the League Cup at Ibrox in 2003. There we go. Happens to us all.
That wasn't a surprise for her, sure. Yeah. She wasn't turning up thinking we were going to be upset.
Yeah, I didn't be the in sex.
Rab is a Kilmarnock fan on the line. Let's try and squeeze this one in. Hi, Rab.
How you doing, guys? Happy New Year to you.
Same to you, Rab.
Yeah, you, Rab.
Okay, Jordan Jones. Right, all the Kilmarnock fans knew he was going to Rangers. Everybody knew. The whole place was talking about it for months and months and months. The problem the Kilmarnock fans has is how this was done. And literally on the very day we were celebrating our 150th anniversary, there was lots of celebrations going on in Kilmarnock, around the club and that, but all the media, everywhere, newspapers, all the talk about Jordan Jones going to Rangers, it completely overshadowed everything that we've been working for so long for. And that's what got the Kilmarnock fans. We all knew we'd go to Rangers. Yeah, fair enough, we wanted to go there, go. But it's just how this was done. That's our main problem.
You understand that point? Because I'll admit, I'll tell you, I was driving to the show on Saturday, and as always in my head, right, what we're going to talk about today, and so on, and thinking, oh, I saw it was Kilmarnock's 150th birthday. Mm-hmm. I'm going to bring that up at some
point.
And Rab is, he's right in the sense that mid-afternoon, along came the Jordan Jones news, then came the tweets, and all of a sudden, I mean, I use myself as an example, that it did overshadow it. Whether that, I mean, these things do happen, but you understand where Rab and his fellow fans are coming from?
You can. I think here in Glasgow, you're Celtic and Rangers.
Can you, if as Rab said, that but, everybody knew he was going to Rangers?
Oh, no, no,
would
I don't know
that
about
much
that.
A difference?
But us in Glasgow, you know, Celtic Rangers fans, you know, I don't really care that much for other clubs. But Rab, Kilmarnock fan, 150th thing, it's a big thing. So you can understand why it's a big deal for the club. So I can understand what he's saying. Maybe a day later or a day before coming out, you know, may have been better timing. And going back to the tweet, well, that was just, you know, a silly thing for Jordan Jones to do. But you can understand supporters, you know, cherish milestones like this in their club's history. So you can understand them losing their top player and the guy that's kind of fired them or helped fire them up to within touching distance is leaving. It's a sore one when he rubs it in.
I think, in my opinion, I know that people are so loyal to their club. I can understand Rab's argument if it was a well-kept secret. But as Rab touched on, everybody knew. So it came out on the Saturday and it happened to be in their 150th birthday. Are you seriously going to worry about that?
Sorry, Rab, we don't have much time to get your reply on that one. We're already late for the travel, but I'm loving these memories of your heaviest defeats. Stuart McDougall says, Rangers 10, Wraith Rovers 2, 1967. Don't worry, that wasn't your fault. I won a match ball from the programme number and picked it up after the game. Was so happy till I got back to the bus, but it was held up for 25 minutes. There we go. Nice wee story, that one. We're going to have, we're going to hear from Neil Lennon on his pursuit of Lewis Morgan after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation. They know the score. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are here. They're waiting on your calls. So get in touch and send us a tweet at Clyde SSB. Remember, after seven, it's Juniors Night. We're shining the spotlight on junior football and we're very keen for you to get involved. Give us all your memories, your experiences, your stories. Maybe you're a big junior football fan. You go every week and you want to tell us about what we're missing out on. That's what you can do after 7 o'clock. We're also asking for your biggest ever defeats that you've seen inflicted on your team after Man City last night. Darren says, biggest defeat I've seen, Inverness Cali 7, Ayr United 3.
Oh yes, that
Darren.
Oh no, yes, go, keep going.
Darren, who is who is the Ayr manager that
who was
day, Darren?
Fooling, in the dugout.
Do you know, I
7-3 against Inverness as
I remember going to Inverness 3-0 up at half time, beat 4-3. I could not buy a result. I could have went with the Brazilian World Cup winning side to Inverness.
That would be some trip.
But my defence, we used to batter them
shocking.
Left, right and centre. Somerset,
terrible.
It was the only place I couldn't win.
Do you think this is the moment, Mark? Is this the moment we reveal where Gordon DL has been sent to on Saturday for this,
no,
for this show?
It's got to be. Give it the big build up. Drum roll. Come on.
You.
announce it to the nation?
Well, I'm looking forward to an absolute classic. Two of my old clubs. So I'm going to Airdrie v Raith Rovers.
Oh, is that Airdrie?
Yes.
What type of reception
are you
expecting?
Off there, Gordon. He's
I've got to say, Gordon,
fans had a lot of good things to say about him when I was in the touchline.
Yeah.
I heard a lot of support from
To be fair, we took over a difficult time, and people that are at the club, and there are a lot of good people at the club, they'll realise the job that we achieved.
To be fair, the Raith Rovers fans will jump to your defence. They still like you, I assume.
Oh, they give me sticky.
There's an obvious joke in there about him getting lost on his way to Airdrie, isn't there?
Ah, they could be.
Dunban
was a nightmare. I'm never getting back there.
Well, that's not what I meant. I'm talking about because you don't have that familiarity of having gone there too often.
Oh, is that what you're talking about?
Sorry, brilliant, Gordon.
01419511025.
But I've been there with the win the league.
Neil.
He's always got to get the last word in. He was raging.
I'll just turn his mic off. Neil Lennon says Lewis Morgan is a player he'd like to see at Easter Road in the second half of the season. The Hibs head coach says he's been forced to change his plans because of Martin Boyle's injury, but admits he's not quite yet spoken to Brendan Rodgers about it.
It just means we have to bring another one in. It's a huge blow because Martin's been fantastic for me in the 2.5 years I've been here. And a real blow in terms for his international career as well, because obviously he would have been out here playing for Australia. But for the second half of the season, to lose a player as potent as him, you know, it does not change the way we want to think, but it certainly will have to adapt a little bit to his loss.
You've been linked with a low move for Lewis Morgan. Is that viable? Have you spoken to Brendan Rodgers about that?
No, I haven't spoken to Brendan on anyone yet. And, you know, Lewis is a player that I'm sure there'll be a lot of clubs interested, but certainly the type of player that, you know, we would welcome here. And I think Brendan touched on earlier that the loan move for Ryan Christie did him the world of good, and I think he's looking more the same for Lewis.
I agree with that. Ryan Christie obviously has benefited from going to Aberdeen for that spell. Came back a better player, stronger player, more experience. And I think with Lewis Morgan, it was always going to be difficult for him to break into the side. We've seen moments from him that looks promising, but I think to play first team football is what he needs at this level. I think Hibs is a perfect fit, you know, especially when I'm losing a winger. I think Hibs are far enough away from that group of teams at the top of the league not to be a threat in any way to Celtic. So I think it would be a good move for all concerned. Brendan Rodgers would get a player out, you know, out playing. Lewis Morgan would get some game time, and Hibs need a creative player, as I said, having lost Martin Boyle this week.
Yeah, I think Lewis Morgan is a terrific talent, but you've got to play, Gordon, especially the young age he's at. He's gone to Celtic in his big move. Celtic have brought in forward players, which puts him down the pecking order a little bit. And I think Mark's right. I think you look at the Ryan Christie situation, and I think you'll take a lot of confidence from that to go out and say, right, I'll go out here, get a lot of game time under my belt, which you will do at Hibs, and I think it'll be a good signing for Neil Lennon, and then come back and try and get yourself cemented in the Celtics first team.
Anthony Neal's on Twitter. He says, if Lewis Morgan is to go on loan, I'd prefer he went down south. There was talk of him going to Sunderland, and if he did go down south, at least he'd get protection from officials you don't always get up here. Well, funny you should say that, because we've been speaking to Jack Ross, the Sunderland manager. You can hear that interview on tomorrow's programme, and he actually addresses both of those points, would you believe? So stay tuned for that. Laurie is in Denison. He's a Celtic fan. Laurie, is the time right for Lewis Morgan to go and try and get some football?
Well, I wouldn't be opposed to that. I don't think I'll do him any harm, such as I've never done Ryan Christie any harm. It has been a couple of seasons at Aberdeen. We've got plenty of competition in wide areas anyway. The main reason I'd phone this evening, I'm looking forward very much to the second half of the season. Naturally, Rangers fans are talking up their title chances. You know, that result against us just before the new year saw the end of a famine of near biblical proportions. For them. So you can understand why they're excited. And I also relish the challenge. We've got 3 weeks remaining in the transfer window. I'm quite pleased about the signing Celtic have made. Obviously, they're looking to beef up their forward line. Three young players that fit into the Celtic strategy. Young guys that hopefully Brendan Rodgers can develop and cultivate. None of them, of course, are the finished article, but they've all have promise and potential. I know that much has been made about the two major signings that Rangers have made, Steve Davis and Jermaine Defoe. However, I'd have been more concerned about those two had they been signed 5 or 10 years ago. They have a combined age of 70. And I would put it to the panel, that whilst they're seasoned veterans, that combined age to me, more suitable perhaps if they were a Domino's partnership, approaching middle age, than strutting their stuff on the park.
Tell you what.
Before the panel responds, there are 3 weeks to go in the transfer window. I'd like to think that now have got the business of getting forwards in, we can hopefully get a couple of defenders in. The panel's thoughts.
Tell you what, I'm a bit worried if that's Laurie's age range for Domino's teams, because I'll be fast approaching Mark Wilson. You're right there.
Maybe we've got a combined one cap between us and here. We're good.
Is that maybe a bit harsh, do you think? Or?
Yeah, I think it's very harsh. And Laurie, I think the nowadays players look after themselves so well, Gordon. You just need to look at guys like Kenny Miller, people like that. Defoe looks in terrific shape. Davis is in, you know, and plus the fact, what you cannot buy in any walk of life is experience. And I think that the experience will help. I think it'll help round about the training ground. I think it'll help in the dressing room as well. So I don't buy into this about, you know, I think it's a wee bit tongue-in-cheek from our Laurie there, but he's a Celtic man and he's hoping his team do well.
I suppose there has to be a bit of realism, Mark Wilson. You know how much we love the game up here, but you have to be realistic. Rangers don't get Jermaine Defoe in his prime. That's the whole point.
Of course, yeah.
You have to wait till there's a certain stage of their career to attract a player who played at that level.
Yeah, well, he's not on, you know, astronomical amount of money for nothing. You know, that's because he's did it all through his career in England. You're totally right. Scotland, that's what we have to deal with. You know, we either have to buy young players and move them on for vast sums of money, or we get players at the tail end of their career. But you have to be very careful who you pick at the tail end of their career. There's loads of players that have carried many injuries and they come here for their last swan song and think it's going to be easy, and it's not. I look at Defoe and Davis as slightly different. I look at those guys as fit guys, ready to play, and who have got a number of years, not just this 6 months with Rangers, but a number of years left in them. They look fit lads. In terms of Laurie's other point about, you know, sorting out the Celtic front line, it looks like it's very much been done. You know, I'm a similar opinion to him. I wonder if Brendan Rodgers will now turn to the back line, because already a left back's been signed, but he's an unknown quantity again. The right back situation has been rumbling on for probably about the best part of a year and a half now. So if the guys behind the scene haven't done their homework in that, I'd be very surprised. And also the centre half situation, Dedrick Boyata, what's going on there? You wonder if Brendan Rodgers might just gamble with another centre half.
Thank you to Laurie on the lines on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Emma is an Airdrie fan, and she says, tell Gordon not to worry. Not because they like you, but because they don't like anyone, she says. So there you go.
Thank you very much.
You're just
Emma.
One of many, right?
Yeah, thank you.
I think it's time for this.
Beat the Pundit.
With goals in the Scottish Sun, the SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Really looking forward to the second hour of tonight's show, Junior Night on Super Scoreboard. There must be so many stories out there from you, experiences of junior football, memories, things that have impressed you, things that have made you laugh. There must be a whole host of tales for you to share. But before we do that, it's time for Beat the Pundit. So if you want to take on Mark or Gordon, and who wouldn't, now is your chance. 0141 951 1025. Do it quick. You only have until the news at 7 o'clock.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Great results for Scottish accident and injury victims for 40 years.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel are here, and in the second hour from now until 8 o'clock, it's all about the juniors. We always get comments, emails, tweets, phone calls saying we should talk more about junior football. It means a lot to people in this part of the world. So let's do it, and let's hear from you. Let's hear all your stories, your experiences, anything at all you want to share. 01419511025. We're going to be joined by a few experts along the way as well. Let's do this then first.
Beat the Pundit.
With goals in the Scottish Sun, the SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Beat the Pundit time. Mark and Gordon are ready. One of them is taking on David, a St Mirren fan from Bishopton. Fancy your chances, David?
I wouldn't say that. I've been on before and I get beat with Dazzler, so I'm looking for revenge.
That is not a good place to be, I must admit. That's not one for the CV, I must admit.
But he's undefeated this year, is he not?
Ah, he keeps banging on about 10 days in. We'll see how long it lasts. Heads, you're going to be up against Mark. Tails is Gordon. And heads. It is tails. Gordon up against David.
Go round on, two, David.
The rematch. Sequel, the rematch.
I hope you want to make it one each, mate.
Let's give Gordon some play too, so that he can't hear us, and get the clock ready. David, you know the drill. 30 seconds, head to head. You can pass. Here is your chance to beat the pundit. You ready? Which team has won the most junior Scottish Cup finals?
Auchinleck like Talbot.
Who have Dunfermline appointed as their new head coach?
Evie Crawford.
Former Celtic defender Eric Sviatchenko now plays in which country?
Slovakia.
Former Ross County defender Andrew Davis has joined which Scottish club?
Dundee.
Which famous Scottish warrior is junior team Kirkintilloch named after?
Rob Roy.
Who does Robbie Nielsen manage?
Dundee United.
Who did Shota Avaladze play for immediately before joining Rangers?
Ajax.
How many different spells did Charnley have at Partick Thistle as a player?
Three.
Okay. Are you with us? What are you laughing at?
He's gone. He's brilliant. He's brilliant.
He was.
Right, okay, go on. Go on.
Right, same set of questions to you. Are you ready?
Right.
Right, okay, let's get the clock up and running. Your time starts now. Which team has won the most junior Scottish Cup finals?
Auchinleck.
Who have Dunfermline appointed as head coach?
Stevie Crawford.
Former Celtic defender Eric Sviatchenko now plays in which country?
Sweden.
Former Ross County defender Andrew Davis has joined which Scottish club?
Partick.
Which famous Scottish warrior is the junior team Kirkintilloch named after?
Rob Roy.
Who does Robbie Nielsen manage?
Dundee United.
Who did Shota Avaladze play for immediately before joining Rangers?
No idea.
How many different spells did Chick Charnley have at Partick Thistle as a player?
Three.
Why were you answering like that? It was so off-putting. Slow down. Right.
Is it not about getting in answers just quick?
I mean, there's a way of doing it before you sound a bit.
Surely I've done, John. Surely he's a way.
Well, it's David for a start.
Oh, David, so,
yeah.
Maybe he's a way having a beer with John.
David,
I'm still here.
How do you think it went?
It's going to be tight, I think.
Oh, no, David.
I think you've got a chance. Let's go through. At which team has won the most Scottish Junior Cups? It is Auchinleck. You both got that right. 1-1. Who have Dunfermline appointed as head coach? Stevie Crawford.
2-1.
Former teammate of yours?
2-1, yeah.
Both got that right.
No!
2-2. Former Celtic defender Eric Sviatchenko now plays in which country?
Where is it?
Denmark.
Denmark! I was close.
No, you weren't. Former Ross County defender Andrew Davis has joined Dundee. David got that right. And you did not. So David takes a one goal lead, if you like. Which famous Scottish warrior is junior team Kirkintilloch named after? It's Rob Roy. So David is still one in front. He's still one in front because Dundee United manager is Robbie Nielsen. Who did Shota Avaladze play for immediately before joining Rangers? Can you remember?
No.
It was Ajax.
So it was.
David knew it. So he goes 2 and beat.
I'm beat.
And how many different spells did Chick Charnley have at Partick Thistle as a player? You both said 3. It was 4. And it didn't matter. You have been well and truly dealt with by David in Bishopton.
What was your score?
He beat you by 2.
What was your score?
1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 4.
6-4.
That's one each, mate.
Well done, David.
Cheers, pal. Thank you.
David, the sign ball is on its way.
I'm gutted, let me tell you.
How long has he been banging on that he's unbeaten this year? And it's lasted 10
days. I've only lost one this year.
10 days.
Only one.
Honestly.
I tell you what, 4. I can't believe Ajax. See, that wouldn't have mattered. It'd have been 6-5.
Yeah.
Exactly. It'd have been a Mark Wilson story.
Believe it. Right, okie doke. Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are still here with us. Pleased to say we're now joined in the studio by Scott Campbell, who is our junior football expert. How many years have you been covering the junior game for newspapers around the place, Scott?
Oh, it must be up for 30 years now. Gordon, yeah, started out with the Cumnock Chronicle just after leaving college and moved on to the Air Advertiser and then up to the Sun after that.
There we go. Scott clearly knows his stuff. He knows more about Mark Wilson and Gordon DL about the junior game. That is an absolute certainty. So he is here to keep us all right. 01419511025. Any thoughts, memories, experiences of the junior game? We'll have them all. Tell us about your team. Maybe you're involved. How are they doing this season? Any funny moments? We know there's always a bit of madness out there. I'm sure you've got some nice tales for us. Share them all. We're on the phones. And we are on Twitter at ClydeSSB. Scott, you clearly dedicate a lot of your time to this. How would you rate the health of the junior game in Scotland at the moment?
Yeah, I think it's in good health at the moment. Obviously, there's a lot of debate going on, not just about the juniors, about the whole non-league scene in Scotland at the moment and where the juniors fit into them. There's a bit of a kind of realignment. It's just the juniors are trying to find what their position is. They talk about them going into the pyramid. Discussions are going on at the moment, sort of thing. to see where they're going to slot in. It looks like they will finally become part of the pyramid after a bit of sort of toing and froing. But I think once if those discussions go through and the juniors become part of the pyramid, that's only going to make them stronger and make the pyramid stronger.
That's maybe a discussion for a bit later or another time. But specifically at the moment then, as it stands, just for anyone who doesn't know, how's it structured at the moment?
At the moment, there's three regions in the juniors, geographical, the west, the east and the north. The west covers pretty much Glasgow, Ayrshire, Renfrewshire, Dumbartonshire, that area. The east goes towards the kind of Lothians and Fife and then and Tayside. And the north is kind of pretty much north of Tayside, Aberdeen and in the northeast.
I mean, I'm assuming all these leagues are competitive as always. You just heard Beat the Pundit there. We know Auchinleck have won the most Scottish Cups. We're hopefully going to speak to the Auchinleck manager very soon indeed. They've got a huge Scottish Cup game coming up soon. Who are the dominant sides? Who are the best sides at the moment?
Well, it's hard to look past the kind of usual suspects. Auchinleck are always going to be there or thereabouts, sort of thing. And say they won the cup, the Scottish Cup again last season, sort of thing. And they didn't win the league. Beath just sort of pipped them to the league on the last day, so Beath are in the mix. And Hurlingham as well have had a great start to this season, so they look like they'll certainly be in contention again for one of the major runners.
And who are the top players in that, for people who maybe haven't heard? Because I know the junior ranks, I'm assuming, is made up of guys who have played at a high level before and are maybe on the way back down, or, you know, younger guys. So who would be the ones to watch in the junior ranks at the moment?
Yeah, you're right there. It's a mix of sort of guys that maybe had their time at the junior or the seniors and come drop back down. For a lot of these guys, it suits them better to play juniors in terms of working in with their work and family commitments, stuff like that. If you're thinking about Auchinleck, they've got a couple of brothers here, Graham and Stephen Wilson, who are always very sort of key to their sort of any chance they've got. Stephen plays in midfield, Graham plays up front, sort of thing. So they're always big players. Somebody else that's caught the eye recently is Jordan Longmuir, the goalkeeper at Pollock, who I think has saved something like his last four penalties in a row. So he's in a bit of a run just now. If he can keep up that form, they'll certainly be in the mix.
Decent record, yeah. That, eh?
I remember years ago, and when Ronnie McDonald and Alan Maitland were at Clyde, they were the first guys to take all the junior boys into the seniors, and they were questioned what are these guys doing, and they were very successful. A lot of good players in the junior leagues.
Your former Glen Afton manager joins us in the studio,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah, a long time ago, Gordon, and I really enjoyed my time there. The junior people are completely different. They're so dedicated, and they do it for no money at all. They just love their clubs, and especially down Ayrshire, when you go to different grounds like Auchinleck and the Beaths and Hurlingham and all that, it's incredible. Irvine Meadow at that time was spending a lot of money. They had players on more money at junior level than what the professionals were on in the lower leagues.
What is it that's so good about it, Scott? Why are people taken in by it, addicted to it, so committed to helping? Because it seems that it's just got that rawness. Is that what it is? Just that real feeling that you can be so close to the club and the action?
Yeah, I think that's certainly part of it. I think there's obviously a lot of it's to do with a local appeal. A lot of the junior teams come from sort of smaller villages or sort of smaller areas of the bigger cities, and it's very much a community feel behind a lot of them, sort of thing. And I think that's why generations of fans have stuck with their junior team rather than maybe going to watch the nearest senior team.
Now remember, you can share anything you want with regards to junior football tonight. 01419511025. We're going to take a look at the impact junior football can have in the local community. We're going to hear from some pros that have played at that level as well. On Twitter, remember all your thoughts in. Christopher Dodd says, two keepers sent off in 7 minutes for the same team. For Talbot's comeback against Hurlingham, I think he says, in the Junior Cup final. Two of the best things I've seen. Oh, no, sorry, they're two separate issues. Two keepers sent off in 7 minutes for the same team, or Talbot's comeback to beat Hurlingham in the Scottish Cup. Two of the best things I've seen in the juniors. And it's got, I guess it must be full of these wee moments. I remember there was one on the show a couple of years ago. Goalkeeper was sent off for peeing behind the goal. Shettleston, was it? I always remember that on a Saturday afternoon.
If you got to go, you got to go.
You've seen it all. Anything that stands out in terms of the madness?
There's been plenty, sort of thing. I don't know if too many who can mention it this time of year, this time of night, sort of thing. But there's always something happening with the juniors. That's the thing. It's a lot of people go there because it's great value for money. Especially these days with the money you have to pay to go to see senior football, a lot of people see the juniors as much better value, and quite often I feel that's the case.
Scott's keeping his cards close to his chest on that one. So you can tell us about the maddest thing you've ever seen at the junior football level. 01419511025. Rory is in Fife. Hi, Rory.
Hey, mate, how we doing?
Not too bad at all. How are you?
I don't know, mate. First time caller. Listen to you guys all the time when I'm out and about in the car. So
it's the juniors that's hooked you in tonight.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm a very avid follower of junior and non-league football. I've been involved with it for numerous years. I'm actually a volunteer up at Kelty Hearts, which is my local team. And I must say, I mean, the junior and non-league fixtures and the kind of following at the moment is growing arms and legs. It's amazing at the moment. I mean, you've got the likes of Barry Ferguson coming down to non-league, and he didn't see that as a drop. He's seen that as a challenge. And I mean, we're talking a guy who's been captain of country, of Rangers. He's been down to Blackpool, and he's been manager over at Clyde. And to be honest with you, I mean, we're bringing in great names like that into the non-league and the juniors, and it's promising. I mean, we're looking at professional football. We're looking at £30-£20 a ticket to go away and watch for 90 minutes, whereas you can come down to the non-league and see great football, great results for £10. And the value for money in non-league and junior football is unreal just now. I mean, my local team, Kelty Hearts, we had a free thriller, two late-minute goals over at Falkirk Stadium on Saturday. And you just can't escape the greatness of football away from grassroots and non-league and junior football. I've watched Lahore Welfare, your Bonnie Riggs, your Hello Beef Hawthorns, the old defunct Blingary Rovers. I mean, I've watched them for many, many years since I was a wee boy. I'm now in my mid-20s and I've watched them since growing up. And to be honest with you, I value that football at grassroots, getting involved with it more than the pro game, the top league tiers.
Rory, there was a lot of hype, understandably, when Barry Ferguson took that role. How's it going so far?
You know what? It's great. I mean, Barry is just one of the guys, basically. He's come in, he's not overstepped the mark. He's come in and he's wanting to put a stamp on Kelty Hearts overall, which is great. But he's an approachable character, and that brings a sense of community to a small community club like Kelty Hearts. And it's gobsmacking, to say the least. I mean, we have brought in players who have had SPFL kind of recognition. We've brought in players who have been with Dunfermline, like Stephen Husband, he's been with us for numerous years. We've just signed Chris Dodds, who had a lot of interest from League One and League Two clubs. And we're battling these teams that want to sign players, and instead they're opting to go into a challenge like Kelty Hearts. If anyone hasn't been to non-league football, get onto the Lowland or the Highland League, go onto your junior websites, have a look at your local fixtures, and you know what, for a couple of pounds and a bovril, for a couple of pounds, go and watch 90 minutes of raw football where you will see a lot of talent. And to be honest with you, I don't know why more and more clubs aren't looking at the non-league fixtures and the players that play within the teams, and why they're not bringing them up, because we've got a lot of very, very, very talented footballers throughout the non-league. And
yeah, Scott, let me ask Scott then, is that the niche that junior football has enjoyed over the years and perhaps has to continue to enjoy, is that as professional, as top-level football tickets get more and more expensive, is there still that value there? Is that the appeal?
Yeah, that's certainly a big sort of draw. I think a lot of people point to the fact that you can go to a junior game and say, maybe a tenner, that gets you into the game, gets you a programme, gets you a pie and a half-time draw and something like that. And I mean, you're not going to get anything like that in the senior game, and that's a big appeal of the juniors and the non-league game in general.
What was your junior team growing up, Mark? Did you have one? Did you ever make it along?
Yeah, Bayliss and Juniors.
Bayliss
and Juniors,
sure,
yeah.
Woods, isn't
yep,
it, yeah.
Sneaked in a few times, didn't pay the couple of pound that people
I
sneaked in under the fence, no, me and my mate. Well, but Bayliss and Juniors was one of the teams that faded away, I think, 2004-5 maybe.
Yeah.
They ceased to exist, which was a shame. And now, looking at it, it's a big house and estate on the park where they used to play. But great times going down there, and because you can afford to go and really pay tickets for the big games.
And tonight, obviously, first question, who won the most unlucky? I get beat 6-4 off Dave. Thought he was a bit lucky, but
the guy's name wasn't Dave, was it?
Yeah.
It was Dave. And then,
yeah.
Sorry.
It was John the first time round, but it was Dave. But you look at the junior Auchinleck v Ayr United in the Scottish Cup, Gordon.
Well, we're going to get to that, because as I say, we're hoping to speak to the Auchinleck manager very soon. Indeed, keep sharing all your memories. There is also a number of players in our top flight at the moment who made their name or carved out their trade in the juniors. A couple of Hamilton's current squad started in junior football. Darian McKinnon, he actually moved to Accies from Clydebank. Dougie Imrie played previously for Lanark United as well. They are both the captains of Hamilton Accies, as we found out on a previous episode of Beat the Pundit. So clearly playing at a decent level. We've been speaking to them about their experiences of the juniors.
Clydebank, yeah, obviously the juniors. I started off amateur, obviously, then got a move to Clydebank. I was meant to sign with Dumbarton before I went to Clydebank, but they pulled out the deal, thankfully. And then I got to Clydebank, then I got to here.
Many moons ago, playing for Lanark United in the juniors. Some great memories, won a few cups as well. It's always good to win things, and for me, it's probably got me where I am today with the rough and tumble of the junior game.
The cup finals we won at Clydebank and the promotions and stuff, they're the ones that stand out, because there's a reward for all your hard work.
I can always remember my first game. It was at Kilsyth Rangers. We lost the game 1-0, but it was something that I'll always remember, because I was playing against guys twice my age at that time, because I was only 17, getting into the junior game, and like I said, it was a lot different to the way the game is now. Tackles that you would get a yellow card for or a red card now were never thought of then. It was just play on, but that's how much the game's changed. But for me, looking back in the days, it was a great learning curve for me.
At the time I was there, the top teams would give any League 1 and League 2 a game. Obviously I'm not there now, but at the time I was there, you had Pollock, Irvine Meadow, Auchinleck, all these teams that was right good teams that just didn't want to go senior because of the cost involved.
Probably in the first month it was a real learning curve for me, because you got to learn quick, you got to be streetwise, because like I say, in the junior game, way back then, like I say, tackles were just flying in left, right and centre, so you had to be on your toes and you had to learn really quickly. And for me, at a very young age of 17, to go into that kind of environment, it was tough, but I really enjoyed my time there. I was there for 4 years before I went to Clyde, but for me it was a good learning curve, and I think for myself it's set me up in the career I've had in the professional game.
Scott, going back over history in Scottish football, the list of players who cut their teeth at junior football and went on to have great careers is endless. It's clearly doesn't happen as much now for various reasons that we could go into. Do you still think it can happen? You're listening to guys like Darian McKinnon, who went from Clydebank to Hamilton. He's in our top flight and he's Hamilton's captain.
Yeah, certainly towards the lower levels of the senior game, as quite often you still get a lot of players that are farmed out to the junior clubs, non-league clubs, to get them experience and maybe toughen them up, sort of thing. I don't think you'll get it with the top flight clubs. They're maybe a little bit more wary about farming the young players out to these.
I mean, there are a couple of others in the top flight, aren't there? At Livingston, remind me of the name.
Scott Pittman. Yeah, came through from Bowness. Yeah. He did really well there and I stepped up to the seniors.
I mean, back in your day, Gordon, that would have been commonplace, I'm sure.
Yeah, Benburb was the junior team that Rangers used to put their players out to. I was so delighted when I wasn't picked. Obviously, I was round about the first team squad at 16. But the rest of the boys, used to go and get toughened up. But it was a great learning ground. And the juniors then, and there's a lot of good players in them, Gordon. One example I come up with there, and guys that support Rangers remember, Bobby Russell, who won trebles with Rangers and won a fantastic footballer, won about 9-10 medals with them. He was actually signed from Shettleson.
Now, don't worry, we're still getting the full-time teaser up and running, but keep the memories coming. I've got so many to read out on Twitter. Really enjoying your contribution. And we're going to speak to the guys at St Rocks and take a look at the impact of junior football in our local communities. That's coming up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, a team that gets results every week. Talk to Thompson's.com.
It's junior night on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We're asking you for all your experiences, memories, anything else you've got associated with junior football. Share it on the phone or on Twitter at Clyde SSB. So many coming in. What a response we've had to this one. We've got Scott Campbell, our junior football expert, in the studio with us. Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. We've got a few more guests lined up on the phones and so on as well. So let's rattle through this. Let's get the full time teaser up and running. Dylan has sent this one and named the 11 men. And Gordon, please listen carefully.
I'm listening.
Cannot be bothered repeating this.
Right, okay.
11 men,
yeah,
who previously managed in the English Premier League. You know what that means? They no longer manage in the English Premier League.
English Premier League.
But have at some point managed a European national side. Not UK or Ireland, by the way. So name the 11 men who previously managed in the English Premier League and have at some point managed a non-UK or Ireland European national side. They may well still manage that national side, by the way.
Hiddink.
He was only a caretaker manager in English Premier League, and therefore does not count.
No.
Watch me.
You're joking me.
Dylan makes up the rules.
Conte.
Yes,
brilliant. Yes.
Chelsea and Italy.
Dylan.
Yeah. Right, hold on. Mourinho's never.
Anything else, Daz? I was hoping for a bit more.
I know I'm hoping for a bit more myself, but I'm still in shock at getting beat tonight.
Quickly.
Give me a minute.
Scott, anything that springs to mind? He's shaking his head. Right, okay. On Twitter, loads of memories coming in. Nicola Brown's enjoying it. She's loving that Beath have had a few mentions already. Hamish says, Hibs v Irvine Meda was an amazing day out. 3,000 Meda fans went, he says. So there we go. Lots of your thoughts coming in on Twitter. Let's speak to Andy, who's on the line. Andy is from St Rocks, a junior club not too far from here, of course. Andy, how are you?
I'm fine, Gordon. How's things?
Yeah, not too bad at all, Andy. Now, I said before the break, I wanted to take a look at junior football in the local communities and what can be done. I appreciate you could probably give me an hour long answer on this. Give us the short version of some of the work that you and the guys at St Rocks do in your local community.
Well, Shelby, just in the first half of the programme there, you were talking about the biggest defeats, and it gave me a cold sweat. when I was a junior 4 seasons ago, went to the amateurs, and I used to work with big Tommy Bungs, but Gordon and Mark, no, God rest big Tommy, but even in the juniors, think it was going to be an easy shift. And our first game, we played Shelton, hadn't they beaten them for 6 years and won 2-1. I was wanting to build like Jose Mourinho, think it was a special one for 4 days. 4 days later, we played Bells Hill. Bells Hill 10, St Rocks 2. I went for the special one and they were sacked one in 5 days. So it brought back a bad memory in the first half of the show there.
What about the community side of things, Andy? Because I know that's something that you guys care very much about.
Lots of amateur and junior clubs are involved in community activities, but we're a wee bit ahead of the curve. We've been for 4 years now. As a club, we've made a commitment. So we are doing things. I won't get into much detail about them unless you want to ask specific questions. But we've got like an employability programme. We've got a football academy, homework club for kids. We run festive and community dinners, Easter parties, firework displays. We have an annual anti-discrimination football tournament. We were the second club to join the On the Ball campaign. We allow the use of a stadium for charity games. Where Pavilion gets used for the local groups. And other partners and fans and stuff have done things like food bank collections, clothing and footwear collections, and just recently a toy drive where fans done for kids for the community and for local nurseries. So because we're based within the community, we've tried to make St Rocks a hub, I suppose, that people know they can come to us if they need it, and partners and other community organisations work alongside us. So we try our very, very best to help them deliver the services that they offer. We've got a few things in the pipeline as well. We're about to be starting a sort of a walking, talking group. That's for people who just are isolated and maybe have depression. We're looking at, there's a cookery lesson starting in February. And the thing that I'm really interested in, and I have some of the guys in the show the other night talking about, on a Sunday morning, we're actually going to open up the park just to have like sidies for kids. I know there's a lot of coaching and stuff goes on, but there's not an awful lot of times kids can just go on a football park and play football. So in the spring, we'll open up the pitch for primary school kids. 14 of them show up, we'll be 7 a side, and if 40 of them show up, it'll be 20 a side. So there's things like that that we've tried. Some of them have worked really successfully, and others maybe never took off. Probably the jewel in the crown in terms of people recognising the stuff, it was the homework club, which has been really successful and really well received.
Well, tell us a bit about that then, because, I mean, what is homework club? Is that about giving children somewhere to do their homework, people perhaps from disadvantaged backgrounds, people who are going to struggle with that area, and you provide a place and a platform and staff to help them out?
Started 4 years ago with the guy on our committee who, basically, believe it or not, was an astrophysicist. He understood the importance of education for making an impact on young people's lives, to give them an opportunity to be all the best they can be. To be honest, I've been involved with the club since then as well, and I wasn't sure whether or not we get kids from Gangad, the Black Hill Problem, Bermalock, coming along with that type of class. It was like physics and higher homework classes. What I've got to say is, since it was launched, it's been tremendously successful. Every semester, there's between 16 and 20 young kids come up to the programme. And what we're hearing back from the schools is that every single young person who comes along to the class does better than they expected in their exams. What we do is there's a couple of guys come in from Glasgow University and they deliver this stuff. Now, all the stuff I've mentioned in terms of community activity, we deliver all that free for the end user. So what we do is we get funding for different groups that want to support people. So, for example, we will get funding to pay the tutors, but the young people will come along to that programme. They receive that type of support without any cost. I think the cost of a maths tutor is something like £30 an hour. So some families in deprived areas won't be able to afford that. And certainly where we're based, there's certainly some families that might need that support. But some of the young people have excelled. And there's some good news stories. I mean, we were contacted just before Christmas there from somebody at St Andrews Secondary School who said one of our teachers, Jordan O'Hara, he was a graduate of our first maths and physics homework club, and he's now a teacher at St Andrews, and he speaks really well of the homework club and how it made the impact on him. So, I mean, we do that sort of stuff, and there's other junior clubs who are involved in those kind of things as well. I mean, junior clubs are in the hubs of communities, have been there, most of them, for over 100 years. So I think there is opportunities for junior clubs to work with other partners, work with funders to support them and deliver the things that's the key strategic things that's needed for the city to make a difference.
You touched on it towards the end there, Andy. What type of difference have you seen been made to individuals in your local community?
Well, for each of the programmes, there's individual success stories. We wouldn't obviously like to share people's individual details. I mentioned the teacher there. There was a young person who recently went to Cambridge, the first from St Knox. I mean, I think she'd only come along to the homework class a couple of times. The football academy we've got, we have one youth team, which is for 2004s, but the football academy we have, we invite other football clubs along. Again, that's free in the summer. Kids come along and get coaching. But we invite other clubs along, so there's young people from the football academy have been signed for other youth clubs. In fact, one of the young people got picked up with Celtic and he's now up at the school up at Lennoxtown. So there's different successes in the different programmes we run. Aligned to that, there's a correlation for the club. The club currently are sitting in the Championship, the highest we've been for probably 40 or 50 years. Maybe 5 years ago, there was 20 solid guys who would go along to St Rock's games. Because of the community stuff we've done and because of the social media presence we've got, we've been able to increase our profile, which means we get more sponsors, we get more advertising, we get more people through the doors. We've got 140 season ticket holders just now. Home games, we usually get about over 200, can be up to 800 for big games. And going to away games, there's 100 fans going, and including two supporters' buses. Because of that, the profile of clubs increased. The type of play we've been able to bring in has improved. So we're now a semi-professional club. We've got guys coming in for much bigger clubs, for senior clubs, for Premier League clubs. And I think we're doing well on the park. And there is certainly a correlation with the community work we've done, because it's raised our profile. It's got a lot more people interested in the club and has had a positive impact on the team as well.
Why does it matter? That might seem like a pretty blunt question, Andy. Why do you feel so strongly about working in the local community? Why is that important that junior clubs can try and do that?
Well, some of the stuff, I take it back to one of the first initiatives that we were involved in was the Football Academy. I took my son along to one of them maybe about 6 years ago. I was standing with mothers, single mothers for your community, and the two kids, and the football academies were charging like £35 a month. I mean, very, very good football academies. However, I looked and I thought, people in our community can't afford that sort of stuff. So we tried some things. They really worked. And it became apparent, and this is terrible in the society, that our fans have recently done toy drive, clothing and footwear collections, food bank collections. I mean, in this century, it's disgraceful that these types of services are needed. But where we are at St Rocks is that if we don't do it and do it well, then maybe no one else will. What we've realised was more partners come on board. For me, I'm from the community. The first football match I ever remember, my grandfather took me in 1980. It was actually the Benburb-Bayliston Cup final at Hampden. I remember there was about 60,000 people there. As I say, I was a St Rocks fan because my mates played there and it was my local club. But I didn't actually realise the power that a club like St Rocks, and many clubs throughout Glasgow and throughout the country, can have within their local community, because basically all of us have been there for the last 100 years and we're trusted and recognised within the community. So there is an opportunity to work with other partners to deliver good in the areas we live.
Big thank you to Andy from St Rocks. Well done, keep up the good work. And I'm sure there are lots of clubs out there doing similar things, so well done to you all, making a real difference in your local communities. What about this full-time teaser, quickly, because we've got a lot to squeeze in.
Right. I've got a couple for you.
Right, go for it.
Van Gaal.
Yep. Man United and Holland.
The one we should have got, Martinez.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everton, Belgium.
Roy Hodgson?
Wigan. No, because they he still don't manages manage in English Premier League.
Oh, former.
You're doing a DL here.
Yeah. Scolari.
Oh, that's a good shout. Brilliant. Yes, Chelsea and Portugal.
Tell me, did Avram
Grant? Avram Grant, yes.
Did Avocat manage in the Premier League?
No.
Yeah, he did.
Did he?
Yeah, I'm sure I was in the Premier League with Sunderland.
Yeah, do you know what though? That's one that for some reason I took off the list and I can't remember why. He did manage Sunderland. Just add him on. Mm-hmm. Why not?
Venables.
No. So I think I need to qualify by saying all the clubs are still in the top flight in England. That's why Sunderland doesn't count.
The question's changing as we go now.
God, you need because to listen the rest, every week.
You've got the rest. You've got the rest, no problem. Doesn't change much.
I've got another one.
Billich.
Yep.
Oh, you are. I forgot about him.
Quickly.
Ronald Koeman?
Yes.
Oh, great.
Right. So you've only got 1, 2, 3, 4 left. Let's speak to Robert and Stevenson. Hi, Robert.
Oh, hi. How are you doing? I was very glad to hear the chap talking there from St Rocks, because what he is doing is fantastic at St Rocks. I grew up in that area and I seen my first St Rocks games about 1955 with my grandfather. I went to all the games with him all over Glasgow, and my granddad Edward Brady would be so proud of what's getting done there just now. But just some funny stories about when I was younger and used to watch the St Rocks games. I remember one game when one of the opposing wingers was running down the wing, and it's very near to the sideline at St Rocks Park, and he skinned the St Rocks right back. And then someone stuck their foot from under the bar and tripped a guy where he was going down in a line. And there was another one where...
Did you booked for it?
Yeah, I think so. I was relatively young.
He's shown a red card.
Well, I don't know about referees then. There was another one where someone had ran through, chipped a goalie, and the ball was rolling into the St Rocks goal, and somebody had run round for the back of the net and stopped the ball before it went in the net, and then ran up and sat in the wall on Broomfield Road to see what would happen. And what actually happened, it was a drop ball, you know. But St Rocks were a great team. And my grandfather was a season ticket holder from, I don't know, many, many years up to he died in the early 60s. But St Rocks was always... it's where Jimmy McGrory started his football. The guy who still holds the record for the most goals scored in the UK. He started at Melbourne Park in Gangard Hill. And the only thing I've got to fame is that I was born 50 yards away from where Jimmy McGrory was.
That's a decent claim to fame, Robert.
You know, yeah, but St Rocks were a great team. I've seen Jim Brogan played at St Rocks. I've seen him play Cambus Lang Rangers when it was 4-3, and I think it was about 3,000 people in Provenwell Park, but it's now Jimmy McGrory Stadium. But what the guys are doing here is totally brilliant. And my brother Edward, who lives in Toronto, he's got a St Rocks shirt sent over to him. He ordered one online. He follows them online, and I try and go to see St Rocks games, but I stay down in Stevenson now, so I don't get to
as too many as you'd like,
and I'm getting old as well. But St Rocks is a big, big part of my life, and I'm so glad that they're doing all the good things they are doing, and they're either a credit to the community, the Gangard, and to all the people who live there. And I just hope they keep doing well in the future, and I'm sure they will.
Great stuff. Thank you very much, Robert and Stevenson. Big, big junior involvement in the big Scottish Cup, if you like it, coming very soon. Auchinleck up against Ayr, and we're going to speak to the Auchinleck manager next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, a team that gets results every week. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. Scott Campbell from the Scottish Sun, our junior football expert as well, still talking all things junior football. But we do have the teaser to try and get through. I think it's 11 men who previously managed in the English Premier League, so no longer, and have at some point managed a non-UK or Ireland European national side. So caretakers interims don't count, and it's only for clubs currently in the English Premier League. So you've got Avram Grant, Scolari, Conte, Martinez, Coman, Van Gaal, Bilic. Any more?
Yeah, Mancini.
Yep, Man City in Italy.
Godmark.
Pulley.
Yep. Two to get. One is with a very well known footballing nation. The other is not. Let's just say that. Right, couple of minutes to think about it. Barry McFadgen's on Twitter at Clyde SSB says the maddest thing I've seen in junior football was Pollock's right back at the time, Tam Hanlon, a hat trick that was featured in Soccer AM at the time. Great advert for the game, Scott. I remember seeing that. That
used to go to school with him.
That was incredible. That was incredible, wasn't it?
I did. Yeah, that was certainly one of the best hat tricks you're ever going to see. Sort of thing. Tam getting unbelievable publicity about it afterwards. I think, and well deserved as well.
And remind me, what were they all? Long, I think they were all long range, weren't they? Or certainly two
I
were
think
incredible
were
strikes.
A couple of them were sort of very long range strikes. Sort of thing. Yeah, especially for a right back, it's not particularly something you'd expect to see. But he came up trumps that day.
I don't think I've ever seen a better hat trick than that. Mm. It was outstanding.
Was
so you went to school with him? So
I did go to school with him. Aye. So yeah. Taught him everything he knows.
Talk us through the hat trick.
The hat trick? Do you not remember seeing it? Like Gordon says,
I can't remember.
It was everywhere.
I'll show you it later. You're driving me home. I'll show you.
Unbelievable.
That's me just announcing that to you.
I'm the driver.
Right, I'm pleased to say we are joined on the line right now. Tommy Sloan is the Auchinleck Talbot manager. Tommy, you're just finished training. Thanks for joining us.
No bother.
Now, it must be building up quite nicely. A huge Scottish Cup tie, and the big Scottish Cup, if you like, against Ayr United, fast approaching. How's that feeling?
Oh, it's a great feeling. It's a tie we never thought would happen. A derby match with a difference, you could say, for us. So we're all really looking forward to it. And I've got a wee job here. Another derby match on Saturday before that one, and we'll get coming up this Saturday, so... That's two in a row we're having.
For people who don't know, Tommy, and I think most people have a rough idea, just sum up how much this will mean to the people of Ayrshire.
Well, it's let me know so much Ayrshire, but certainly the village of Auchinleck. There have been a lot of big games in their time, but a Scottish Cup tie against Ayr and Kilmarnock's, obviously the team's local to us, it's something we thought we'd never see. And look, our fans will be expecting a performance on the day, which adds a wee bit of pressure as well. So I love it. It's all it's been talked about. It kind of overshadows everything at the moment. But my focus is trying to be on the next match, and hopefully we can manage to get a victory on Saturday, get into the air game, which would be a real boost for us.
About two more minutes, and I promise I'll let you focus on the next match. You can understand the excitement around this one. I mean, it's going to be live on television as well on the BBC. How are the players? How are you feeling about that side of things?
Look, some of the boys has played at the seniors and maybe had an odd game in the TV or whatever. I don't know, but look, we just that's something we'll need to actually speak about. Probably you've got to play the way you always play. It's one of the things we kind of start trying to do things that we're not normally doing. So that'll be a focus for me in the day. But I'm sure we've got a bit of experience there in the team, and I'm sure they'll help the young lads along there.
How much belief is there that you can go and cause some sort of upset?
You've got to believe. I took in the air game the other week there. They were doing it at Palmerston. And Queen of the South, a team in their league and a decent side, but they set up against here to actually be solid, and they've got quality players on their side, and I'm coming away going that's a team in their own league setting up that way against them. Ayr dominated the match, but it finished up a draw. So that's something I need to look at, and just how we set up. We normally go and attack every team that comes to it, but is it time for a change? Well, I've got to make that decision in the next week or so.
Lauren Shankland, Ian McCall was saying today that no player will leave Ayr this window, and if they do, they'll certainly be loaned back. Was that the worst news you've heard all day?
I've got it. I never do that. There you go. He adds a bit of quality along with Michael Moffat up front. Ayr's a team full of good energy, young guys with real legs about them and plenty of life, but they add that bit of quality up in the front rank there. So, I'm sure our players will look forward to playing against Lawrence Shankland. We're relishing the chance to go and play against there. So hopefully on the day we can put out a show and hopefully get a result.
Now, the football side of it's one thing. There's obviously a financial impact of getting such a big tie and one on television. I don't know, the club's been involved in sort of similar sized ties before, but that must make a huge difference.
Oh, it's a big deal for our club, definitely.
Look, I'm going to say, obviously, I don't take much to do with the financial side of it. That's, I try and concentrate on the playing side, but I'm well aware this is a big tie and we can make good money out of it, and that can help our club for years to come. But, look, that side, doesn't on the day, all I'm worried about is putting on a performance and trying to get some kind of result. So that side, I don't really look at, I'll be honest with you.
How difficult is that balance? You've mentioned you've got big games coming up before that. I think you're probably still at training at the moment. You're certainly just about to leave. How do you make sure the players are focused on the job in hand and perhaps not dreaming ahead too much?
It's no easy. It doesn't matter how much you drum it into them. It's down to the individual, that I feel. But hopefully we've got enough experience. Coming up's a big deal for us as well, being honest with you. It's a cup tie. It's bragging rights in the Ayrshire, so we want to make sure we are staying top of Cumnock, and hopefully we can take care of them and take winning form into the next game. That's really important, I feel.
Great stuff. Tommy Slow, knocking like Talbot manager, thank you very much for joining us. We wish you well.
No bother, cheers.
Great stuff. That was Tommy. Scott Campbell, you watch a whole lot of junior football. Can you see it? Can it happen? Have they got a chance?
They've certainly got a chance, yeah. I was in the last round there, played another junior team, Bees Juniors away.
That's right, yeah.
Finished 3-0 in the end, but it took here over an hour to break them down, and Bees certainly gave them a real test. And I think, I'd imagine Talbot will come out very strong and try and get in their faces early doors on a week on Saturday, and it'll just be about how Ayr adapt to that.
I don't think we should pretend. I don't think we have to hide from the fact there is... it's often described as not being for the faint-hearted junior football. There will be a darker side to these meetings. Has it got a bit of a powder keg feel about it?
It certainly could have, yeah. It's like the game they've got coming up this Saturday against Cumnock, that'll be a lively affair as well, sort of thing, as I say. But I think Talbot can play decent football as well. It won't just be about that. They've got players and they can get the ball down and pass it about, and they won't be scared to try and take Ayr on playing football too.
Yeah, looking forward to that. I'll be a cracker to watch.
Can't wait. Yeah.
Oh, after 40 minutes and the game settles down to 150 miles an hour, I think it'll be good.
You've been down there at Ayr, of course, and in the junior scene. So, what's it going to be like?
I'll tell you what, Tucker, I know him very well. He's done a terrific job down there. Great lad. He'll be confident. But Ayr will have to play on the day. Ayr have got better players, yes, of course they have, but you've got to turn up and you've got to perform. I'm sure Ian McCall will be telling these players that.
Looking for two more on the full-time teaser. 11 men who've previously managed in the English Premier League and have at some point managed a non-UK or Irish European national side. So this only includes teams that are currently in the English Premier League as well. You've only got two to get. You've got Hooley, Grant, Scolari, Conte, Martinez, Coman, Mancini, Van Gaal, Bilic, which means you only need two. They're clearly the two most difficult. They were always going to be the two that you struggled with.
Well, De Boer's no one, is he?
No.
Did I say
Toshak before?
He's not one.
All right.
He did, but he's not one.
Villas-Boas?
Nope.
He's not one.
I'm stuck.
Yeah, you've clue time, Gordon. Anything you had, Scott?
Nope,
Scott, you've been a great help. Thanks for coming, Scott.
Spurs in France.
Oh.
This should be good.
Did John Collins work under him? Is it the lad Thiago or something?
Tigana.
No. Oh,
good
no.
guess. That's rubbish.
You think Spurs
in France?
Jack Santini.
No.
And the
no
other
chance.
One, Chelsea and Armenia. I thought you were going to... I don't know why, but I thought you were going to get this one.
No.
Well, give you his initials.
Yeah.
I.P.
Ian.
Ian Porter.
Porterfield.
Ian Porterfield. Yes, you got there in the end. Thank you, Gordon DL and Mark Wilson. Special thanks to Scott Campbell, our juniors football guru this evening. We hope you enjoyed our look at junior football. Probably a bit of a shame we couldn't do it for much longer, but we're back tomorrow night at 6 o'clock in the company of Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson. And stay where you are, because Callum Gallagher is up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation. They know the score. Talk to Thompson's.com.